Welcome to Spencer Institute's Conversation in Wellness Coaching Podcast with your host, Mark Tehan.
Mark, thank you for being here again with me today. I really do love listening to you and all of your wisdom. So I'll start today with, what are some of the coaching actions that stand out in the early stages of coaching?
The first thing that comes to mind is that there are so many different stages to coaching that happen to line up with how people will change in general, especially when they're trying to make changes to health behaviors. So there's that aspect of it that works kind of synergistically in terms of it happening in stages. So we look at coaching in stages, and we do things differently, like in the interim stage, than we would in the early stage. So in the early stage, like we've talked about before, we're having that first session with our client, and I don't like to use the word interviewing them, but we're asking good questions and we're being really curious as to why they're there. But we still have like some initial groundwork to cover with our client. And it can happen in the first session if you don't have any other way to meet your client prior to that. But in the past, we've talked about how beneficial it is to actually get some form of like digital or electronic communication with the client done first before that first session, so that any of that extra information that's really important doesn't take up that first valuable hour where the coach has so many things to do. And including in that list would be just a discussion or an honest exploration into whether or not the client understands what coaching or what wellness coaching can do for them, but if they've done it before or what worked for them. In other words, we don't want to approach this client with any sort of bias, like, oh, they've come at us from another coach, I'm going to show them a different way. We don't really know. We just know that we want to try and do our own thing with this client. So we sit and we have this discussion and we talk about things like why they're there and what they know about coaching. And it kind of unravels from there. But with experience, again, the coach learns to guide the conversation and navigate through this part of the early stage of coaching. And the reason why it's so important, Michelle, is that this is like any foundational work. For us to have work that becomes more complicated and intensive later, we have to lay a really solid foundation, because we're going to refer back to things said and done in the foundation for future work, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense. Great. That's great information. And just to clarify, with the electronic or digital communication, you're saying, right, you know, you use whether it's email or text or even a simple phone call or even just I think we spoke about this last week, a form. You know, something that they would fill out, right?
Like, electronic forms are that's the best way to go. If you can do that, and not all coaches are, I find coaches are not all technology proficient, let's just say. And like, we include forms in our programs where you can actually replicate them with your own branding and send them to clients. That's the ideal situation. But if you don't get that, you still need this information. Like, you need to learn like what your client does for their normal lifestyle and work modes, right? And what might cause stress for them and what they do in their free time and what their family looks like and what their social wellness looks like. So there's many different things that have to come together in these early stages. So, I also have to clarify, it depends on the setting where the coach is delivering the service or discussion or the session. A corporate wellness coach would approach this sort of dialogue much differently than if I was virtual online with a client or sitting with them in an office, because a corporate wellness coach might be working with an employee on the clock and they just simply don't have time to sit and talk with a wellness coach. They don't schedule sessions in the same way. And so you do a little different type of coaching delivery in that model, but it's still learning to get what you need to know about the client in the first early stages of your interactions and coaching.
Thank you for clarifying. And actually, this is perfect lead in to my next question, which is, how do you approach expectations with a client? how does that fit into the process of setting goals?
Well, and a great question. Part of what you're doing in that first session by assessing the client through conversation, what they already know about wellness coaching and what's worked for them before, what has not worked, you're already getting their side of the expectation, right? And what they know about it. And you want to get that information from them, because if it's not an accurate understanding of how you work, that's your chance to say back, well, this is what wellness coaching can do. And this is what is typical, however you want to frame it, with a client that I've worked with similar to you, or for clients who have a similar goal in mind. We lay down expectations as a way of shaping for what we will later call accountability. So like somewhere down the road, if our client does not fulfill an obligation or an action to change something, we can always go back and say, I know you're busy, or we know that you're working on other things that have come up, but your original reason for coming in was to work on this. Can we dial this back, or can we look at this in a different way so that we go back to that? That shows the client that you're staying on point and being mindful of their goals by laying out the expectation and then making them accountable. So it's a process where many things come together, again, relying on the strength of that foundation being set.
So if you were to sum this that you just spoke about, what would be the three main points that you would want to tell our coaches out there?
From the coach and what they deliver in this first session, is that what, just to clarify your question?
Well, just, you gave a lot of information. Yeah, what would be the top? What would be the top three? Yes, correct.
Okay, so first, I think what's overlooked a lot is the setting, the ambience and the atmosphere and the comfort. Your client needs to feel safe. So where you do the coaching is one consideration. Then I'd also say laying down or describing expectations and getting a mutual understanding of what we sometimes call a coaching agreement or a coach-client agreement. However you phrase it, we want to get things eventually in ink, all right? So there's an administrative side to this as well. Then the third thing is to master the art of conversation, which is a whole different box of tools to explore into and be trained on. But everything flows from your ability to develop trust and rapport through conversation. And so trust, rapport, and even accountability are probably the top three, I would say, in this first session or in these early sessions with clients, because we're still asking our client to do difficult work that involves things that if they could do on their own, they probably would not be with us. So they may be reluctant or what we call ambivalent. And you hear this a lot in coaching, like how to solve your client's reluctance and ambivalence. And they all come down to the same general answers. So those are for another time and other parts of training that are not really in the initial stage. But trust, rapport, and accountability are that kind of synergy with their goals and the whole overall experience of taking in or the onboarding of a new client is the awareness points I think that coaches should prioritize.
I think it would be really beneficial to, because of all the experience that you have and that you bring into the Spencer Institute with all the education and your knowledge and all these great insights, I would love to hear from your experience. How does clarifying goals and expectations contribute to the overall success of health and wellness coaching?
The general answer is that you said the word, the success, that success builds on more success. So when we look at clients who come to us, one of our first missions is to help them build confidence and self-esteem so that they know that they can make a change or face a change that may be difficult for them. So we look at that confidence level and we want to boost that with success stories. Either they are currently experiencing things that are working well in their life, or in their past experiences of change efforts or things that have gone well in their life. We want to build on that success and we want to build confidence and the self-esteem. then we are more likely to have better outcomes in general with our clients. So one of the things I like to speak to is the way that coaching has evolved from very few people knowing about it and having a consult to very, like a whole lot of people knowing that they're out there, but not really knowing what they do. So there's been, I think I cited the term 25% or the figure, 25% of the population has ever had a wellness consult or a coach consult. And those largely went back to the days when it was more affluent CEOs and company presidents who were doing what we now call executive coaching. So we come into wellness coaching now, and it means all kinds of different things. So we really want to be able to show the general public that we are a legitimate form of intervention that is appropriately placed. And we know our place. We're not medical people. We're not therapists. We're not counselors, but we do work with all of them in support of that. And part of this whole journey of working in wellness is constantly being reshaped by how we fit into this whole health and wellness landscape. But the success of the client work that we do is visible to others. And that's the thing. So as more people, a higher percent of our population start getting more exposure to wellness coaches and getting more successful outcomes, it does nothing but boost our profession and show our legitimacy, in a way, our validity. And it makes the public have a more favorable impression of coaching and what we do.
Thank you for all that information. That this is going to lead me into this next question because it's perfect. How do you ensure that the goals set during coaching sessions are realistic and achievable for the client?
Well, this is part of that art and science of coaching, where some of your anchor skills are just going to be always needed, like your ability to be a great conversationist and to maintain and continue rapport. So we assume all of these things going into it. But once you're discussing the goals with the client and you actually get them clearly defined, which are, again, very distinct processes that are separate training, in the end, you can just really stick with the SMART acronym, which is a way to summarize goals as S, meaning specific, M, being measurable, A, being action planned, R, being realistic, and the T being time-based, or an element of like a time when it will be reached. So sticking with that SMART acronym makes it a little bit easier for the coach to not have to dig for something new to invent to remember a goal or how to restructure it or reframe it. It's just there. It works for all goals. This is something we've borrowed from the world of fitness. And so if you're an ESTA, PFT, or trainer, or trained in nutrition coaching, you're already really aware of SMART goals. And it's just an example of one of the gems that the wellness and health coaching fields have kind of learned and taken from fitness. But you also have to be sure that when you're discussing goals with clients, we need to understand how clients change, as discussed before, and that we've already uncovered, and if you've worked as a coach, you know that clients will come to you for one goal, but then through conversation and assessment, come to realize that there are other completely different goals than they either didn't realize or didn't know were connected to a goal. So in other words, a client coming in to just lose weight might not realize that they have to take all the steps required. They might have considered two or three, but that's why the coach fills that gap of playing a little bit more of an informer and a supportive informer, but never an expert. But still, we have to explain to the client how goals change or occur differently over time. A very simple goal for someone might happen quicker. A more difficult goal will happen over a longer period of time. And we have to be able to look at each client uniquely and say, well, this person is responding to this type of change really quickly, or this client is really ambivalent or resistant to the change. So maybe rethinking our strategy or having a discussion about this. So having this knowledge of how goals overlap can be helpful when you're setting the expectation for what you can do for a client, because many times a client will come to the coach or trainer, in this case, it's also applicable, and they just want to be, and I'm air quoting now, and I hate to do it, but they want to be fixed. And that's not what we do. And it also implies that the person's not well or broken. And that's not what coaching is about. So we want to have our client be successful as they reach goals. And sometimes that means we have to separate things out. And some of those goals, therefore, might overlap. But in this initial stage of coaching and in the first session or two, the coach needs to be really mindful of their doing and their being skills. So what you're doing or how you're being. And this is part of training that we're going to cover in another episode. But we want to give our client some closing comments for sure when we wrap things up. And if there's assignments or outstanding paperwork or anything that we need back from the next session, which is, again, agreed upon, usually contractually, we will meet our client once a week or every 2 weeks or whatever frequency. That client will be coming back. And if you need more from them, make sure that you're clear on this in the summary. So I want to thank all of you for your generous time and listening in today for some tips on getting through the early stages of coaching and what you should be mindful of when you're working in session with a client.
Thank you for listening. For more information, go to SpencerInstitute.com.